Hey friends, welcome to the Her God Story podcast, where you will always hear a story to encourage and inspire you in your walk with the Lord. I am so glad you tuned in. I'm your host, Jody Kiracosta, ministry leader at Somebody Cares America and International, author and traveler on this incredible journey with Jesus. Psalm 1, one of my favorite psalms, reminds us that blessed are those who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditate on His law day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. What a beautiful picture of life God intends for us. Rooted in His word, nourished by His presence, strengthened through fellowship with His people. And when we are rooted in Him, that life naturally overflows to others. One of the ways we do that here at Somebody Cares is through our Widow and Orphan Fund. God's word reminds us often that His special concern is for widows and orphans. And this fund allows us to come alongside them in very tangible ways. Together, as we unite in Christ, we can be part of helping meet real needs around the world and letting those who are hurting know they're not alone in this season of their lives. Like trees, we all go through seasons. In the spring and summer, we may be flourishing, fruitful, green, full of life. But then fall and winter come, seasons that can feel really barren, painful, even lonely. Yet every season is temporary, and God uses each one to deepen our roots, strengthen our faith, and prepare us for even greater fruitfulness in the days ahead. My guest, Terry Black, has experienced these seasons firsthand. Married to Don for over 35 years, with 4 adult children and 3 grandchildren, she has seen the faithfulness of God in every stage of life. Terry is the founder and president of Real Life Adventure Tours. She co-hosted a program on Cornerstone TV for several years, and she's an entrepreneur who has launched multiple ventures. Through it all, Terry has discovered the power of meditating on God's word, worshiping Him, and staying connected to the body of Christ. And as she stepped out in obedience, she's seen God prosper the work of her hands. I can't wait for you to hear her story. Terry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jody. Good to see you and talk with you as well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, we're so glad we could get together today. So let's start at the beginning, Terry. Before we talk about the different seasons of your life, would you share a little about your background and how you came to commit your life to following Jesus?
Oh, I'd love to. I grew up in a Christian home, but at some point when I was a teenager, I realized I needed to make my own commitment to the Lord. And so I was at a church service and there was young people singing. And that's at that point, I remember I was 14 years old, that I made my own commitment, not only for Jesus as my Savior, but to make Him the Lord of my life. And that really made a path for me. I chose a different path at that point in my life. And I got involved in youth group and young life and all of that stuff to help me grow, just being in a good fellowship. When I was in high school, graduating from high school, I went to a festival. They used to have these Christian festivals, and I'm from Pennsylvania. And so we went to this one called Jesus 78, and it was an overnight camping out kind of festival, and they had different musicians and speakers. And at that particular festival, there was Nancy Honeytree, and on Saturday night, there was Keith Green, who has now since graduated, and he's with the Lord. He was singing, and Pat Robertson was speaking that night, and they both talked about the baptism and the Holy Spirit. And I really wasn't that familiar with it, other than I did see my parents. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they were on fire for the Lord. They were really involved in the charismatic renewal movement. Well, guess what? I decided that I wanted that baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so I received that baptism, and they said, okay, make sure you get immersed in water the next day. So I went forward. I went into this pond and I was immersed or baptized in water to sort of seal the deal, you know? So that was a real life changer for me.
Yeah. I remember doing something similar, going to Fishnet, which was a Virginia festival,
yes,
several times. And they were
you know, they marked our lives, didn't they? Those experiences.
Yes.
Yeah.
They really do. I remember vividly, you know, they said, stand up, you know, don't raise your hand, stand up. And people all around you were standing up that Saturday night saying, yes, I want what's next for you, Lord. I want all of you. Give me that baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know? So that was really a life changer for me, for sure. You know, so.
Yeah. Well, as a young adult, God began directing your steps, and he directed you in some unexpected ways. So where did he lead you?
During that time period, I was really committed to just serving God. But, you know, I didn't know how, you know, I had no idea what to do. And I never really got these like lightning bolts, like, ta-da, this is what I want you to do, Terry. But I would start my mornings and just say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And sure enough, it would be, he would guide me. I would have to make sure I heard him, you know? And so that was something that I really would try to listen and obey what he did. And, obey what he asked me to do. And as a young adult, I knew that I needed to read his word, you know, so I was involved in Bible studies and I was trusting him to direct my steps. I had no idea what I wanted to do in college, but I thought at some point that I would try being a social worker. So I graduated from college and I started working as a social worker in child welfare. And that wasn't for me. After a bit, I realized with rose-colored glasses that I was coming in to change the world and I couldn't change the world at all. And I even had on my caseload 3 generations of families, you know, the grandmother, the mother, and the daughter. And I thought, wow, I'm not really making any change. And so I asked the Lord what I could do. My parents told me at the time about CBN University. It had just started and it was a graduate school, the program. And I thought, oh, okay, prayed about it. And I decided to go there. I went there to get my master's in business administration because my thought was I'll get my MBA and I'll come back to PA and I will start my own practice. So I went there. I was the first woman there as well as the first woman graduate. So that was giving you a little bit of my experience in the program. But while I was there, I had to work full time. So I got a job in housing. There was no on-campus housing. And so I had to work in housing. And I also planned student activities as well. So those were some of the dimension. And the fellowship at CBN, now called Regent University, was amazing. You know, I had treasured friends there, and that's where I met my husband. And I really grew in the Lord during my time at Regent at CBN. I met my husband, and incidentally, he was also at Jesus 78 too. He swears we met, but I have no idea. Thousands of people are there. Could have been. I don't know. after my time at CBN, Dawn and I got married, and we decided we wanted to be involved in ministry, to serve in whatever capacity the Lord would direct us. And so for the next 30-some years, that was what our mission was. And we've had the opportunity to work in a variety of different ministries. We have our own ministry. We just had to operating in the doors that God would open.
Yeah. So after you and Dawn got married, you pretty soon after that started a family, and really much of the next decade or two for you was raising and homeschooling your children. But even in that busy season, God had some special assignments for you. So what did that look like for you?
You know, we have 4 children, and Dawn's position, he was working at first at Inspiration Network and then in Touch Ministries, that he traveled quite a bit. And so I was homeschooling. And one of the things I noticed in our homeschooling, we would go one day a week to hybrid school. And so with the blessing of Veritas, we opened up a Veritas hybrid in my own community. And I was just really thrilled that I was able to be part of the beginning stages of it. And it was a blessing to them and also a blessing to me, because it can be a challenge to homeschool four children at the same time. And so that was something I was really privileged to be a part of. And I just thank God for that opportunity. And on occasion, because Dawn worked with Dr. Charles Stanley, there were opportunities in which we did meetings. And so I was able to come on board and help out with the meeting plannings and things like that. And it was, you know, he was such a great Bible teacher. And I just felt really honored to be a part of that ministry and to learn and grow under his leadership too. Another thing that I did was I was not really happy with how I looked, you know, my body. I had five pregnancies. I had a miscarriage. I had all these kind of things with my body. And I decided that I needed to take investment in myself. So I, with the Lord's help, I joined Weight Watchers, I joined the Y, and I decided to do something really crazy, and that was to do a triathlon. And there was a time as a women's triathlon. I do not have a speck of athletic ability in my body, but I was like, I'm going to do something that just is totally out of the ordinary for me. And so I pursued that. It took me a few years, I would say, to get it down, you know, and I had my sister-in-law join me, which we just were great at encouraging one another. You know, when we were down in the dumps, we would pray for one another and we were really able to motivate. And the Lord reminded me through it all that, guess what? He loves me as I am. There's a scripture in the Song of Solomon, one of my favorites, that talks about, my darling, you are altogether beautiful. I see no flaw in you. So even though I saw flaws in myself, he didn't. And that was just like, okay, it's all right that I am in a period of transition in my body, because God accepts me as I am. But at the same time, he was motivating and I was being motivated. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me to complete that goal. Well, guess what? I did do it. And Karen, my sister-in-law and I, we did it together. And we were not caring about our time. We just wanted to finish. And so thank God through he really empowered us to finish the race. And so that was something that I know he was cheering us on for.
That is an amazing accomplishment. I have thought from time to time in my life about doing a triathlon, but I never went to it. I never did it. So I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. That's just one of those things. I'm like, I can't believe I did that. But I, you know, we plodded along and we finished it. Isn't that what it's about? Is finishing the race. Looking straight ahead and taking it off all encumbrances and just going forward on what God calls us to do.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting that God called you to do that, because people think, oh, God only calls us to do ministry things, but yes, God calls us to be healthy in body, mind, and spirit. And so there are seasons where he says, I want you to focus on your health. Yes. That's so that you can be more effective in the days ahead, more fruitful in the days ahead.
Absolutely. I agree with that, Jody, because he wants, we're our whole person. You know, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that's physically and emotionally and spiritually. He wants all of us. And so, you know, my body just wasn't really happy with it. And I knew that I wasn't doing things pleasing to him. Does that make sense?
Oh, so yeah.
I needed to get some discipline in my life. And,
yeah. Self-control, it's a fruit of the Spirit.
Oh my gosh. Tell me about it. That's a tough one, isn't it?
It is.
It's still a struggle, honestly. But I know that once you go through a benchmark like that, you know that you can do it, something like that again, because his presence is with you. And he sort of like propels you to keep moving forward, you know? So that's really, I'm really blessed. God is such a blessing.
He is. Well, by the time you finished your triathlon, you actually had moved to Tennessee and
that's
your
right.
kids were getting older. They weren't really needing you as much. And really that can be a time of a hard transition for women. So how did you navigate that period in your life, and what did God teach you?
Oh, thank you, Jody. You know, that is a tough time, you know, because my children didn't need me as much. You know, we had two in college. And when we moved to Tennessee, we decided to stop homeschooling and put them in public school. And I was new in an area. I really didn't know anybody. And so I felt lost, like you had said. And I just didn't feel connected with myself. And I sometimes got a little down in the dumps. And we were involved in church. And I went to a Bible study. But I needed to have some type of a connection. And during that time, you know, the Lord reminded me that it was okay to be by myself. You know, that was the first time for me that I didn't have children with me, that I was by myself. And honestly, that's a learning experience. Cause I was, you know, I tend to be pretty social, and I found that it was something new was to be by myself, but I really wasn't, because God was my companion. Mm-hmm. You know, he was my friend, and I learned something new in that season in life about friendship with God, and that it was okay to enjoy being alone. And I just really, was really grateful for that season. And in that season, he reminded me about a thing in Atlanta that we lived there called a prom dress swap and shop. And my girls went to that. And he said, you need to start one here in Tennessee. And I was like, Lord, I have no idea what to do. I'm not even a shopper. I have no clue. And you know what? I said, okay, God, I'm going to obey you, because that's what you call me to do. I don't understand it, but I'm going to obey you. And so he would enable me each day to do something that was for this love. It was called Love the Dress, a prom dress swap and shop. And lo and behold, he gave me a plan. I went to different high schools who were so receptive to the idea, because girls only wear prom dresses usually one time a year. And so what a great opportunity for this swap to happen. And so the first year, we had it at our church. We had 80 girls. The second year, we had 200. And in the third year, we had to move to the local community college. And I was able to see God's hand through it all. And, you know, I didn't know how it was going to end up. But I know that he told me to do it. And I just had to obey him and trust him in all the consequences. Also, while I was there, believe it or not, I wanted to start a business. And so I started a Lego business. And it was a part of a bigger company called Snapology. And we would go around with computers and Legos. And we would do creative builds and make robotic builds. And I had the opportunity, with God's blessing, to go to schools. We did church camps. We did vacation Bible schools. And within the church setting, I created these Bible builds. You know, we did superheroes of the faith and things like that. And so again, I wasn't too sure sometimes what I was doing, but God would honor my obedience. And he always equipped me when I said yes. Maybe not to the whole nth degree, but I always knew what the next step was. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I love the fact that God has had you do so many different things in your life, because I think a lot of us think, you know, I'm in one thing and I'm going to do this thing for the rest of my life because that's what God's called me to do. And that might be the case for some people. That might be the case. But for many of us, I look at my past careers and different things God had me do, and only God could have orchestrated all the various things I've done. Because I was willing to make myself available to him.
That's right. You know, Jody, you have had a variety of so many different types of career choices. But I bet if you look back on them, you see how they have built one on top of the other. And God doesn't use anything we do in vain.
Oh, absolutely.
It's all part of it's like a big puzzle. And we have all different kind of pieces. And sometimes we don't know how they fit together, but thank God he sure does.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They all build on one another, even though you think, wow, that was a different switch. But
I know
every skill, every connection God uses in our future.
He sure does. And so I always encourage that we've moved different places, you know, like right now we're in a different state right now, but he has always maybe opened a different door for me. Like mm-hmm. I might be in a different season. Right now we don't have children with us. So I'm in a different season than I was years ago. You know, when I had little ones, I was in a certain season, teenagers, you know, how we all just go through different seasons. And God, I just feel like there's a door, I'm going to open it, and I'm just going to walk through it and trust him to continue to equip and show me what's next.
Yeah, so part of your season was in Philadelphia where Don served at Cornerstone TV, and you had more freedom in your schedule by then because your kids really had been moving on in life, and you were able to reengage in ministry. So how did God prompt you to step out while you were there, and what things did he birth in you? Because he birthed some new things in that season too.
I know, he sure did. We were part of a television network in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and in that network, Dawn and I were able to co-host a couple of television programs, and in that we had the great opportunity to interview a lot of amazing Christian leaders. And in that, we were able to interview some wonderful women leaders. And so in talking with women and working with women, the Lord just prompted me to start a television program. We did it once a year, but it was called The Woman of Valor. And we would promote throughout the community for women to nominate other women and to nominate them based on their character and what made them stand out. Not so much that they might be a VP or president or whatever, but what did they represent? What kind of character, their strength, their courage? And it was just a favorite of the network. So many women would come on the program and we would have tears and joy. And it was just a lot of fun that we did. So I just really felt honored to do that. And the Woman of Valor, it was named because one of my favorite characters in the Bible is Ruth. I just love Ruth. And you know that Ruth is the only woman in the Bible who is called the Woman of Valor. Mm. And she is called the Woman of Valor, not for all that she did. It was because who she was. You know, we know how her story ends, right? But she sure didn't, you know. She was a widow. She was a foreigner. She was a caregiver. She had to be a provider. And she went willingly with Naomi, not knowing how it was going to turn out. She didn't know she was going to get remarried and have a baby and be the grandmother of David and in the line of Jesus. She didn't know any of that story. All she knew was to obey God. And so I love that she is considered Woman of Valor. And interesting, Boaz called her Woman of Valor, a virtuous woman, even before he was married to her. Isn't
wow.
that cool?
Yeah.
Based on how she was in the community and how she loved and extended her courage and strength. Anyhow, I could go on, but I just love her. So,
awesome. Woman of Valor was one of the things you did, but there was another thing you started when you were in Pittsburgh.
That's right. We also, I started a Christian bus trip business. At the time, it was more than just bus trip. We also did trips to Israel and things like that. But later on, I just focused on having a Christian bus tour company. And it was just focused on, really, I don't think Christians sometimes think we can have fun and to enjoy each other and to embrace new adventures. And so real life adventure tours is all about Christians enjoying adventures, exploring God-given opportunities, having Christian fellowship, and I try to do it budget friendly. That's what I try to do. So that's really, it's just my prayer when travel friends get on the bus, by the time they get on to the time they get off, that they are able to enjoy God, celebrate these new adventures that they have. They made new friends and they experience some sweet community fellowship. That's my prayer.
Yeah. So you started that while you were in Pittsburgh and it's still flourishing today. You're still doing it now.
I know. We still are. As a matter of fact, our next trip is we're going on a train ride and we're going to see the fall leaves. I think that'll be a lot of fun. Isn't that God's creation?
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Well, you know, Terry, we've talked about some of the spring and summer seasons in our life with times of growth and excitement and fruitfulness, but you've also faced some of those fall and winter seasons, times that were challenging and pruning. What were some of those difficult experiences and how did you meet God in those?
Well, you know, that is so right, having winter seasons and difficult. As you know, we were talking about that we were dedicated to being involved in ministries throughout our lives. And we have been involved in so many different ministries over the past 35 to 40 years. And sometimes there have been painful transitions, very painful. And even though ministries are created to serve and glorify God, the people who work in them are like us. They're a work in progress, and they can be quite harsh at times. God taught me that my relationship with Him was separate from my experiences in Christian ministry. I had to look to Him to be my vindicator and not for people to make things right. And, you know, He also had to remind me that forgiveness is essential in our walk with the Lord. Even when I call this the rule of second offense, let me tell you a little bit about that. You know, when you hurt or somebody has hurt, like somebody I love, like my husband or my children, and I know that they're hurt, well, guess what? I hurt for them, you know, and if they can't forgive them, this person that hurt them, well, I sure can't forgive them either, even though I wasn't offended. I was a second offended. And even though they may have been able to forgive them, sometimes I found it harder to forgive, you know, because I did. It was just harder. But the Lord calls us to forgive. And it was in a prayer time I had that I was praying and the Lord brought someone to mind that had hurt my husband or hurt my children. And I did not think kind thoughts of them. And the Lord brought to me 1 Corinthians 13:5, where it says, love does not keep a record of any wrong. Oh my gosh. I was like, boy, I kept a lot of wrongs in their life. And it affected me because it was a block in my fellowship with Jesus. And so I was convicted about holding past offenses against others, and I had to choose to forgive. Now, it's not a one and done thing, but it's a process. It has been a process. Honestly, it depends on the offense and on the person, you know, who hurt who, and if they hurt me, if they hurt my loved ones. But I have to make that choice because I don't want any kind of breach between me and the Lord. Unforgiveness only affects me. It doesn't affect the other people at all. And so that was something I learned. And then another hard thing for me was I felt God leading me to join a ministry in another state. I had the confirmations, I had the counsel, and I had people were saying, yes, Terry, you should go. So I went ahead. And Dawn was going to join me later. Well, guess what? That position did not last very long. And I moved back home to Dawn, and I was humiliated. For a season, I struggled with depression, and I struggled in my faith. I couldn't figure out why and what happened. How did I fail? But through therapy, through Bible study, giving to myself time to heal, I learned how God really ministered to me through Psalm 23. You know, I learned that from when I was a child, but it became life-giving to me. Regardless of my circumstances, I knew that He would always be my shepherd and I would not be anyone. And I also knew that His goodness and mercy would follow me all the days of my life, despite flaws, despite mistakes. That had nothing to do with His love and His affirmation in who I was. I was grateful for fellowship when I returned, friends who surrounded me and welcomed me back, and they prayed and loved me. You know, I realized that it didn't matter what happened in the past. What mattered was that God asked me to obey Him, and I did. I obeyed Him, and I left the consequences to Him. Now, that's a tough season. It was tough for me to walk through, trusting God through doubt and some depression. But, you know, I experienced His affirmation in obeying His call and believing that His love would see me through.
Those are hard things when we're dealing with that in our work life. But, yeah, you had some personal challenges as well in your family life, and that really touches even more deeply. So would you share about some of those experiences and how God used them to build your strength and your faith?
You know, I think I mentioned at the beginning of our time together that my parents were really dedicated Christians, and they were really examples to me in my teenage years and my young adult life. Well, after 43 years of marriage, my parents divorced. And, you know, that came out of the blue for me and our family. And because of this, my dad and I had a major falling out. He was making different choices, and that was tough. Well, I knew as an adult, I was a mother, and I had some children, four children looking to me as to how to navigate this. I needed to be a leader and navigate my family's relationship with this divorce. It rocked my faith, honestly, because my parents were Christians and they were examples in the Christian community, and they were getting a divorce. You know, how did I deal with that? Well, some practical things. I had to curb my tongue. I had to be sure not to say negative talk about either of them around my children and really about any other person. You know, that would be gossip and I shouldn't do that. And I was to pray for them individually. And it was really important for me to maintain a relationship with each of them. And this was a time for loving them, but not loving their choices. And that was a really learning, a learning curve for me. But I had to do it for the sake of my children and for our family. So that was something God really showed me.
Yeah, that's hard. I mean, that's hard when, you know, the bedrock of who you had an example in your faith really stumbles.
Yes.
I mean, it can be our parents. It can be, you know, some pastor. It can be anybody who we look to
right.
as our example in the faith. And, you know, we have to put our faith and hope in Jesus, not in people.
That's right. That's so true, Jody. You know, time and time again, I think we find ourselves looking to others and we don't look to Jesus.
Mm.
You really hit the nail on the head that it's so easy to put, you know, that's why having your own commitment with the Lord is so important and not on your family or your parents, because, you know, like we talked about, people are a work in progress,
yeah.
You know, and we can't really look to them to be our savior. We have to really look to Jesus, definitely. So, and that was moving on to another type of winter season for me is, my husband had a really major health crisis, and during that time, I became his caregiver. And also, his recovery took a lot longer than we both expected. You know, it's really quite a challenge to be a caregiver at times, you know, and I really applaud all caregivers out there. You know, mine was for a season, but there are those that do it as a choice for a livelihood, and also they have long-term care. And I that you really rely on what I had God show me was grace.
Yeah.
He gave me much grace and reminded me that it was just for a season, maybe a winter season, but it wasn't going to be forever. And the moments of grace were just that. They were just moments, but that was good. You know, I really relied on these grace moments. I went for walks, you know, that was so helpful for me to be able to clear my head and pray and listen to worship music and have study of the Bible. All of those were really helpful to keep my mind in the right frame, you know?
Yeah.
That's really important, from asking God what you're going to do every day or how am I going to get through this day. Get that right perspective and God will really direct you, because I realized it. Guess what? He wants to be with me. He wants me to ask him. And so here I am today. We just moved, as I said, to another state. And so now my current season is that I'm a Gigi. I'm a grandmother to three wonderful grandchildren. And I'm a mom to four adult children, two son-in-laws, and getting acclimated to a new area. I love being a Gigi and being a part of their lives. Now, for my adult children, guess what? I pray for them more than ever. I don't know about you.
But oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. I need for them to make wise decisions in their lives, you know? So that's really where I am. I'm in a spring season, I think, now. I'm in the midst of planting a lot of seeds.
Yeah, that's exciting. Well, you know, in our earlier conversation, you mentioned that at times you really felt like you lost connection with yourself. What did that mean? What do you mean by that? And really, how has God restored and reshaped your identity in those seasons when you kind of didn't even know who you were anymore?
You're right. There were times in my life I didn't. And I sometimes would lose that connection with myself because I was focusing on what I was and not on who I am. If there's a distinction, you know, I looked at my circumstances for my direction and I didn't always trust God to daily direct my steps. He's always been faithful. He's going to be faithful, but I would put in doubt thinking, but you know, what about this? And I don't know what to do. And I realized that if I would just obey him and continue to trust him, that's where peace comes in. And he's not going to abandon me. And I just need to learn, I keep learning this, to leave all the outcomes to him. I just need to obey him and trust him for the outcomes. And he has been so gracious in reminding me that he is with us. And I just share this little story in that one time I was bit by a cat and it was in my bone and I got a disease and I had to have surgery. And so while we were waiting to be admitted, this man comes up to me in the waiting room and he says, I'm going to take you to your room. And so I follow him, Don, and I follow him up to the room and he turns and he shuts the door and he comes to me and he says, God sent me to tell you that he will be with you and everything will be okay. And I was shocked because I had no idea what was going to be happening. I just knew I had a little cat bite and, you know, I was like, okay, well, you know what? That proved to be true. I'm so glad that he shared that. And I was equipped to go forward for the next challenge that I was going through, you know? And it was just so cool that he sent this angel to remind me that he's in control of this situation as well as every situation. And that sometimes I think I forget, and maybe we all forget, that our relationship is two-way. As much as I want to be with God, he wants to be with me more. He likes to hang out with me. And just meditating on that, that gives me a sense of peace, sense of affirmation, and I feel so connected. He wants to be with us. That's so cool.
That is cool. And you say that that man was an angel. That's because, like, you looked for him afterward and nobody knew who he was, right?
You're right, Jody. I forgot to mention that. Yes, after the surgery, I had to have a PICC line and I had to have things done to me. I wanted to find him and say thank you. I didn't know what I was going to have done. I was sort of naive about the whole procedure. They were like, who is this man? We don't know who you're talking about. So that's why I felt like, wow, God, you sent an angel. Thank you, Lord. That's really great.
Yeah. You know? Well, Terry, looking back over all your different seasons, is there another key truth or encouragement that you want to share with our listeners today?
Well, one thing is we talked about from Psalm 1 that, you know, we have seasons in our lives. I think we have to realize that we're going to have spring, summer, winter, and fall, and that's okay. And that sometimes the desert is the best place to be because we might be the closest to him when we're in the winter, you know? So that's something I wanted to tell y'all. And that I wanted to remind them that he wants to tell us what to do. He is not going to say, okay, if you pray so many minutes and if you read so many scriptures, I'll tell you what. No, he wants you just to ask and he is going to tell you because he wants to hang out with us. He wants to be in this two-way relationship and he may be asking you to call a friend or write a letter or start a business, but he wants to talk to us. And I want to encourage you all to obey him and leave all the consequences to him because he truly is in charge. And that you know that who we are in Christ, that's who we are. It's not on what we do, it's who we are. And that's what our identity and our love is wrapped up on. He loves us and we love him and he doesn't see any failures. He sees us as, what does it say in Song of Solomon? Altogether beautiful. I see no flaw in you. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking of the scripture. I don't even remember where it is in the New Testament. It says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously and without reproach. So he's just waiting. He's saying, hey, I'm here. I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to give you my wisdom. I'm not going to hold back on you. I'm going to be generous in it. And I'm not going to get mad at you for it. There's no reproach here. You just come to me.
That's right. And it's always for our good. You know, it's not going to be like a smack of our hand or whatever, but it's for our good because he wants to use us to spread good, you know, to love on others. So it's a win-win.
It is. You know, there's a scripture that I ponder and I the Lord showed it to me in scripture, I don't know, a few years ago. It's in the Psalms and it says, Lord, you are good and everything you do is good. And I mean, I know the Lord is good, but there's a lot of people that question. It took me a while to, I mean, I had a good father, I have good parents. But still you kind of think God's sitting up there going, well, you sinned today, so
yes.
You're going to get
there's
what you get.
Record.
Yeah.
<That's right. laughs>
You're going to get what you get. And you know, yes, there are consequences for our sin, but God is good. He's not up there looking to zap us. He's not up there looking to punish us. He's saying, come to me. I've got good for you. I've got good for your life.
He sure does, Jody. That's beautiful scripture because I don't know. Sometimes we just don't think he wants our good, you know, like you said, I think that we are feeling that we're going to fail and he is going to say, ha ha ha, I told you. But, you know, even when we mess up, he never says, ha ha ha. He just says, it's just part of the journey. I'm just thankful that if we obey him, and we just have to keep on focusing on his goodness, you know, and his faithfulness. He will never, ever, ever, that's one thing, he won't abandon us. So I think that's really powerful too. That's really great scripture that you shared.
Yeah, it comes back to me often when I'm talking to people, when I'm thinking about you know, different things, that he's good and everything he does is good. Everything he does is good.
Yeah.
We live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world, certainly. Yes. So bad things happen, sure, but do. God is good.
Mm-hmm. He is. And we don't have to understand.
Right.
But we can accept the fact that he is good and that he loves us, and our circumstances change, but that doesn't change.
Yeah.
You know, so, but, and that's the hard part, is to navigate through circumstances, but, and believing in his goodness.
Amen. Well, Terry, you talked a little about Ruth earlier, and, you know, I always ask my guests if there's a woman of the Bible who's inspired or encouraged or taught you something. So you want to talk more about Ruth, or is there another woman you want to share about?
There's so many great women of the Bible. Somebody asked me once, when you go to heaven, who are some of the Bible heroes that you want to meet or talk with? And one of the women I wanted to talk to was Priscilla, you know, of Aquila and Priscilla, because she was an entrepreneur. Mm. You know, they had a tent making business, and she was one of the first converts, and they led a church.
Yeah.
So she was quite the woman leader, wasn't she? And and
she was.
My goodness, that is a fast-paced book of the Bible. She saw so many things happen in her lifetime. So I, you know, if I was to pick somebody to meet, I know there's a gamut of people, but I would like to be able to sit down and talk to her in heaven, maybe have some tea, something like that. But overall, Ruth is my very favorite. I just think, you know, we are all women of valor, just like she was. Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Terry, for sharing your story. You know, it reminds all of us that our lives, they move in seasons. I think of Ecclesiastes 3, which says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Some seasons are full of joy, fruitfulness. Others stretch us through loss and pruning and waiting. Yet in every season, God is faithful. In every season, God is good. And he uses each of those seasons to shape us and prepare us for what's ahead. Friend, maybe you're in a fruitful season right now. Hallelujah. Enjoy it. Maybe you're walking through the time when things are hard and uncertain, but wherever you find yourself, be encouraged, because seasons change, but God's goodness never does. He's with you, strengthening you, causing your life to bear fruit in his perfect time. And as we stay rooted and grounded in him, we get to extend our love to others. So I want to remind you of our Widow and Orphan Fund. If God calls you to be a part of that, just check it out at hergodstory.org and click on Help Now. But Terry, before we close, would you take a moment to pray for our listening friends?
I would love to. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for each and every person listening to our time together. Thank you for your direction. Thank you for your love. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence. And Father God, we come to you now. And Father, as those who are seeking you, whatever season they are in, we know, God, that you will answer them as they ask you what's next. I pray, God, that you would undergird them with courage and strength to obey you. I thank you, God, that you will continue to infill us with your presence, that we will go forward and be the woman of valor, like Ruth, that you have called us each to be. Father God, I thank you so much for this opportunity that we can come to serve you, and we are not finished yet, that we are going to continue to finish the race before us. We thank you, God, that you will continue to equip us each step that we take. And Father, for those who are just not sure of who you are in our lives, Father, we just lift these sisters up. And I just pray, Father God, that they would sense your presence as we pray. I pray, God, that they would know that you love them and that your love is unfailing. And Lord God, that they can trust in your presence, that they can receive your peace, and it is life-changing. Thank you, God, that we each have a purpose and a plan, and that we can continue to rely on your mercy and your faithfulness and your goodness in our lives. And we commit this time to you. We pray a special blessing on Jody and Father on this podcast. We ask God that you will continue to expand her borders. I pray God for prosperity for this ministry. Lord God, and we just thank you for her obedience to serving you. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus, your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Well, friend, don't forget, you can visit hergodstory.org for today's show notes and all the scriptures we talked about. But before we end, I also want to speak a blessing over you that's adapted from Jeremiah 17 through verses 7 through 8. May you be blessed as you put your trust in the Lord and place your confidence fully in him. May your life be like a tree planted by streams of living water with roots that go deep and strong. When seasons of heat or trial come, may you not fear, but remain steadfast and flourishing. May your leaves always stay green with life, your heart at rest without worry, even in times of drought. And may your life never cease to bear fruit, fruit that endures, blesses others, and glorifies God. If you need prayer, please reach out. You're not alone. You can call or text our 24/7 prayer line at 855-459-CARE or email us at any time at prayer@somebodycares.org. We're here for you. If this is your first time listening, check out some of our other inspiring episodes. Until next time, keep trusting God because he is still writing your story.
Her God Story is a ministry of Somebody Cares America and International. To find out more about or support the ministry, go to somebodycares.org.